This is the State of Things. I'm Adam Hochberg. As the general election draws closer, many of the conversations about what matters to American voters are polarized. They happen in silos. People talk only with other people who are a lot like them, who share their political opinions, or who have the same level of education, or who get their information from the same sources. One theater troupe based in Washington, D.C. is trying to break down those silos. It's working to start an open-ended dialogue with a new experimental multi-city theater project. It's called Beer Town, and it invites members of the community into the performance process to discuss the ideas and values that are most important to them and talk about how they want their town to be remembered in history. The troupe performed Beer Town in Omaha last year and is wrapping up productions in Cincinnati this week. They'll begin performing alongside local actors at the Raleigh Little Theater in May. I'm joined in the studio today by director Rachel Grossman, one of the co-founders of the theater troupe called Dog and Pony DC. Rachel, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Let's start by talking about the theater troupe Dog and Pony DC. Now, a dog and pony show is normally not looked upon as a good thing.
Yes.
But this is the kind of theater that you do. You call it devised theater. Tell me what that means.
Yes. Well, and we are not the owners of devised theater, lest I claim that. Devised theater has been around for some time. And, you know, it's got a flexible definition for what devised is. It basically means more than one person is collaborating on creating it. So in a mainstream or traditional theater, there will be a playwright, a singular person who will write the script and then pass it on to a group of people who will perform, act it. And then there's a director and there's sort of separation of roles. In devised theater, we start sort of melding or messing with those roles. And for Dog and Pony DC, we are an ensemble devised company. So we create collectively all of our own work.
So I understand the first thing that happens when the audience arrives at the theater, even before the show starts, is that you all share dessert. Is that right?
Yes. So for Beer Town, in order to build this sense of community, we thought, well, what's the best way to begin building community? And we said, well, we have to, quote unquote, break bread together. Back in the day when we were creating the show, we had visions of this grand potluck dinner, et cetera. We pared that all down to a dessert potluck. So audiences are asked to bring a dessert to share.
Oh, you have to bring the dessert.
Yes. Okay. We can't really force anyone to do this, but the audiences are strongly encouraged to bring a dessert to share.
I'm glad you let me know. I would have shown up empty-handed.
Well, and that's okay. You're welcome to partake. Sometimes you're too busy to make. But it was a big experiment when we first started making the show to say, would people bring desserts and how would they feel if they didn't or not? And certainly asking audience members afterwards to say, you had people respond, I began feeling like I was a part of the community when I was at home making my brownies because I was wondering, would anyone actually like my brownies? And that's when you start saying, I'm a part of this town.
So the desserts are the first cue to the audience that this is going to be a very different kind of performance and the audience is going to be part of it.
Yes.
How else are they involved in Beer Town?
So in Beer Town, you are a member of the town. You are a Beertonian. So when you enter in, you're bringing your dessert or you're coming in to enjoy the desserts others have brought. You are wearing a name tag. You are receiving a ceremonial program, so a program for the event that is occurring in Beer Town that night, which is the 20th quinquennial, which is the 5-year anniversary, time capsule day ceremony. It is the 20th anniversary of every 5 years taking out the time capsule. We also, there's a number of, I would say, American ritualistic or traditional cues that we see. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. We sing a song together. And we go through a number of markers that we see in rituals, everything from things that we do in schools to things that we do in very traditional civic ceremony settings, in town hall meetings, et cetera.
And we should say that Beer Town is called Beer Town because there's a big brewery there.
The brewery closed 20 years ago. So, it was originally the B&T Brewery, which was renamed the Beer Town Brewery sometime in the late 1930s.
And then it closed, and that's part of the consternation that the town is going through about how that era will be remembered.
Yes, about how, and the identity, because, you know, as we see in many American towns, and let's be very clear, Beer Town, not a real town. So every time I talk about Beer Town and everything that's in there, I'm going to talk about it as if it is, and it is not. But it is a part of the identity as the closing of a major industry that was a part of the founding of an American town.
Well, let's listen to a clip from the production. This is a clip from Beer Town, which we'll be playing at the Raleigh Little Theater.
If you knew Beer Town like I know Beer Town.
Hello, Mr. Thompson. I am a merchant from Wales.
Hey, Mr. Bramblethorpe. I am an apprentice learning the art of brewing beer. Oh, 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 what a town.
Cheers.
Play it, champ. Of course not! The water in Wales is too fishy!
A clip from the production of Beer Town on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater. I'm joined by the show's ensemble director, Rachel Grossman. Rachel, tell me what's going on in that clip.
So that clip is, there are these little hyper-theatrical moments, little mini-plays that take place, that pop up, if you will, throughout the real-world ceremony of Time Capsule Day. They're called antecedents. So that one is a vaudeville number that is called If You Knew Beer Town. So it is some vaudeville players telling the story of the founding of Beer Town, of two gentlemen named Bramblethorpe and Thompson, hence B&T Brewery. And they came to this region where the town of Beer Town was eventually founded, which took all the way from New York City. So
that's in the first act of the play.
This is in the first act of the play.
Okay, and then we go into the second act of the play, and that's where we start to see more of the audience involvement.
Yeah, well, the audience involvement is building very gradually, is ramping up over the course of the show. But it's really, the reins of Beer Town and of the narrative are really turned over to the audience in, I would say, right around the recess or the intermission. And then in the second act, when our civic debating really starts, is when the floor is turned over to the audience and we're able to debate what should go into our time capsule, what should be removed from the town's time capsule so that it is representative of our community's identity. And that's really who's in the room that night.
And what kind of objects are we talking about in the time capsule?
Well, so to be very clear, any objects I'm going to talk about are going to be ones that were used in previous productions because they would be potentially changed or definitely changed for the Raleigh production. So we're talking anything from a baseball signed by President Barack Obama, which is something we added for the Cincinnati production, to a stack of pink slips that were handed out to the final employees at the B&T Brewery when the brewery closed in 1996. There's also a gun that was carried over from by Aloysius P. Thompson when he traveled to found Beer Town from New York.
So some of these objects are fictional objects from the fictional town, and then some of the things like the baseball are real objects from the town where you're performing Beer Town.
Sure. I mean, they're all real. It's a little difficult when we start saying real and fictional. I mean, the baseball is a fictional baseball thrown out by a real president in the fictional town during a fictional baseball game when President Obama came and visited the fictional town, which, of course, he never did. And we did have a brief discussion about whether or not we could actually forge the president's signature on a baseball, which we did. So I hope he's not going to be too offended. It's a lovely prop that's used in a play.
But there are some objects that change meaning
as the
play is performed in different cities.
Absolutely.
There's one object. We can play a clip here. There's one object that is a matchbook.
A matchbook, yeah.
And the matchbook was related to a civil rights group called CORE.
CORE, mm-hmm.
Right? Can you tell us a little more about the matchbook and then we'll play
the clip? Oh, sure. So actually, we created the matchbook in Omaha and it's carried over into Cincinnati. It was inspired by a book that was put out by the Great Plains Black History Museum in Omaha called In Their Own Image, Artifacts from the Great Plains Black History Museum, and CORE, which is the Congress of Racial Equality, an organization, one of the four great organizations, original organizations for working for human racial equality in our country. They, in Omaha and I'm sure elsewhere in this country, distributed these matchbooks that had CORE written on the outside, but instead of the name of what CORE stood for, it said combat the offense of racism everywhere. And we ended up making almost an exact replica of that and built a story around the matchbook that would for why it was being used in Beer Town in Omaha to have a conversation about cultural segregation in Omaha the way Omahans wanted to have that discussion.
And the matchbook has the words on it. It says strike anywhere.
It does. It says strike anywhere, like many matchbooks would actually have.
So here are the performers in Beer Town talking about this matchbook.
I think the strike anywhere, as far as the CORE movement went, just going back on research that I've done, it meant more so that the racism can strike anywhere. That it is up to us, all of us, to be aware at all times and to be able to strike against racism when it does strike anywhere.
So you use an object like that to provoke a discussion among your audience about racism, both mm-hmm. in the past and in mm-hmm. the present. And I assume not just racism fictionally in Beer Town, but mm-hmm. actually what they are experiencing in Omaha or Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, in Cincinnati. And that particular clip was one of our actors, Andrew Ian Adams, from Cincinnati, who is playing the state representative. And he is actually responding to stimulus and a comment that an audience member made about strike anywhere, about the phrase strike anywhere. So the audience member actually brought up strike anywhere and said that the audience member felt it was combative and that it was actually aggressive and maybe we shouldn't be supporting it, because while combating the offense of racism is something we as a community are in support of, doing so in a violent way is not representative of who we are. And so the state representative stood up and said, I don't really think that that's what it meant. So you're able to, the actors are really in a position where they're able to counter and try to round out dialogue. So we're getting as full a conversation, and both a conversation that is humorous and also one that is deep in content.
So the play starts in Raleigh on May 6th, and you've already had some conversations with people here mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. what kinds of objects might be integrated into the show when it's at the Raleigh Little Theater. Can mm-hmm. you tell us about that?
Yeah. So the process of developing artifacts and backstory and manipulating the backstory and identities of the artifacts we already have is quite rigorous. Having the conversation right now, a lot of what's come up, it's been really interesting. There's been suggestions of the acorn and a lot connected with trees. Now,
that's an obvious one.
That is obvious, right? Yeah. Now for us, our job is to take that and say, how do we abstract that and beer townize that? So other things that have come up, I think very appropriate for today, interestingly enough, is a voter ID card. And so we talk about how do we maybe link that to conversations that need to be had or want to be had. We looked at the high school diploma. One of the things that was brought up was a brick from the Dorothea Dix Park. And so we're able to sort of take a conversation and say, well, like, what is happening with the development at Dorothea Dix Park? How might we propose an object and write a proposal speech so that it actually has multiple conversation threads coming out of it. So it's not dictating what the conversation needs to be, but allows for multiple points of entry. So if we propose, does a brick help us do that? Does a shovel or trowel help us do that? And, is the conversation about mental health care? Is it about development? Is it about public parks? Is it about the use of public funds? So we're still in this place where we're saying, what are the various conversations we can have? And how do we triangulate those conversations between the various proposed artifacts and the ones that are in the time capsule on any given night? Because we can rotate. And that's the best part about a show that's partially improvised, is we can continue to grow it over the course of the run of the show.
Well, I was wondering, what happens if you have an audience that's not particularly engaged or doesn't seem to be picking up on these cues? Does that ever happen?
No. Every audience is unique. It's our jobs as the facilitators, as performer facilitators, to find out what type of engagers are in the audience that night. So it's really not on the audience, it's on us to dig into what's going to be interesting for them. It just may take us a couple, couple objects to figure out. But I always think of it like pushing a ball up a hill. You just never know how steep that hill is. It could be very steep and it could be extremely short.
Do you have an idea that this can somehow further civic engagement outside the theater, that people will leave the theater and continue to engage in conversations within their communities?
Well, I think that's, ultimately, I think long term, at least that's my hope. And I do believe that's Dog and Pony's hope long term. I know people will still talk, even when the intent of the show was not one that was about this civic engagement end or outcome. People would talk about for years, their conversations in Beertown. So our hope is, as we are continuing to tailor shows to be more small p political and socially directed to home communities, that it is having an effect on dialogue, the way people are talking, the way people are thinking afterwards. We got to come up with some tools to measure that. So maybe we need to figure out how to do that.
How many desserts people bring to the next quinquennial?
Exactly.
Rachel Grossman is the director of Beertown and also one of the co-founders of the ensemble theater troupe Dog and Pony DC. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Beertown will be on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater starting May 6th. You can find out more details at our website, stateofthings.org. And that's the State of Things for today. The State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Shelton Orman. Robin Copley is the technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Adam Hochberg.